You're listening to the Luis Palau Legacy Library. Together, let's always remember that a life on fire for Jesus is a life well spent. Here's Luis Palau.
You came to hear the Word of God, amen? All right. If you have a Bible, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to read just four little short verses. And I want to entitle my message something that I read in a British magazine. It was a United Kingdom magazine for young people. And it opened up by saying, listen to this, conversion to Christ is a staggering event. Conversion to Christ is a staggering event. And when I read that, I thought only a Britisher would pick that word, you know? Perfect word, a staggering event. And you know, I began to think, what is it so staggering about conversion to Christ? And I made a little list, which I'll read to you in a few moments. But first, let's read 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. Just four verses. Look at what the Word of God says. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin for us, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. Now, the key verse that I want to emphasize this morning, it's all key, very profound, very deep, but verse 17, look at it again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So when I read that article, when it said that conversion to Christ is a staggering event, I thought of this verse, and I thought of the missionaries who led my family to Jesus Christ. My dad's in heaven, my mom, my grandma, my five sisters are Christians, my brother and I, all of it because of missionaries. Missionaries brought us the Bible, brought us Jesus Christ, brought us the good news. And my dad died as a young guy. He was only 34 when he died. He had been converted for 10 years. And thanks to the missionaries who led him to Christ. And he served the Lord for 10 years. He had a nice business. And the Lord took him very quickly to heaven. But to me, therefore, I just thank God for the mission. And they often used to preach from this verse in Spanish, of course, with a gringo accent, but they tried. If anyone is in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is past. The new has come. And I remember as a little boy sitting there and thinking, what is the new creation? What is new about it? And then when I read a staggering event, I thought, yeah, but what is the staggering event? If my face didn't change, my mom's face didn't change when she became a Christian. What is it that changes? What's in the past? What's in the future? And so I began to just write a few things that came into my head. What is so staggering about receiving Jesus Christ? Because conversion to Christ isn't a change of religion. It's a change of relationship with God when you come alive to God through Jesus Christ. So I wrote down a few things. Tell me if you think this is staggering or not. Listen to what I wrote down. Once I was lost, now I am found. Once I was blind, now I can see. Once I was dead, now I'm alive. Once I was a slave, now I am free. Is that staggering or what? Pretty staggering, isn't it? But that's only the first four. Let me give you some more. Once I was empty, now I'm the temple of God. Once I was in darkness, now I'm in the light. Once I lived in two dimensions, body and soul. Now I live in three dimensions, body, soul, and spirit. Once I was in the kingdom of Satan, now I'm in the kingdom of God. Is that staggering? What do you think? Actually, if you think about it, just those eight things, I mean, this is real. And it's not a blah, blah, blah. This is real experience. It's in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit has made it real in our lives. Some of us have been around. I've been a Christian since I was 12 years old, and I'm 77. That's like, what, 65 years ago? No, something. It doesn't matter who's counting. But it's a long time ago. And I can tell you, this is real. Here's some more. Once I was guilty, now I'm forgiven. Once I was in a slimy pit, now my feet are on the rock. Once I was condemned, now I'm exonerated. Once I was a loser, now I'm a winner in the game of life. Hey, is that staggering, ladies and gentlemen? Okay, all seven of you. Yeah, all right. But there's more. It ain't over yet. This one, where did I stop? Once I was hopeless, now I'm filled with expectation. Once I was on my way to hell, now I'm on my way to heaven. Once I was under the curse of God's law, now I've been rescued from the curse. Once I was rebellious, now I've surrendered. All that happens when Jesus Christ comes into your life and you begin to understand it. Now, when you're a kid, you don't understand it very much. I was 12. All I wanted was not to go to hell. And that's very good. I'll tell you, not going to hell is a very good thing to have. And going to heaven is very desirable. I can tell you that. The only option is hell, and I don't recommend it. In England, once the BBC interviewed me, and they asked me about hell. I said, what do you say about hell? There's a hell to flee, that's what. Just flee from it as fast as you can and as quick as you can. Then once I was rebellious, now I'm surrendered. Once I was on my own, now God answers my prayers. Once I was dirty, now I love holiness. Once I was a beggar, now I'm a child of the King. Once I was a loner, now I'm baptized into the Church of Christ. Once I was an enemy of God, the Bible says it, now I'm a friend of Jesus Christ. Once I was a selfish wretch, now I live to win other people for Christ. I mean, is that staggering or not? It is very staggering. And you know, it's a fact. That's why the verse is so appropriate that we read today. If anyone is in Christ, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls too, you're a new person altogether. The old is past, the new has come, which is what I wondered when I was a little boy listening to the preachers. Now, I gave it to you, and there's more than the list I gave you. I got another list, but I'm not going to read it, or the morning would be gone. But anyway, God says, if you give your life to my Son, things are going to change that you can't even imagine, and for the good. People sometimes say, oh, you Christians are so boring. Boring? Boring is when I watch television. I've never been in a nightclub, but it doesn't look like a lot of fun unless they're drunk and they're drooling all over and exposing themselves like they should only expose themselves to their husband or wife. And there they are in a public place acting like idiots. And that's fun, you know. Yeah, I tell you what fun is, to lead someone to Christ. That's fun. To know that this is an eternal thing. To go to bed at night and not have to have five beers so as to pass out and not have to live with your conscience. That's a lot of fun. To not have to hide from your wife because she'll beat the socks out of you if she finds out what you've been doing. That's not fun. Fun is be able to go home and say, hi, babe, and there's nothing to hide, you know. I mean, that's what God does. He transforms you and changes you. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing to see that this is true. It isn't something you imagine. Yes, it's in the Word of God, but we've experienced it. I've been at it, as I told you, 60-some years. And, you know, it gets better every year. The more you walk with God, the more you know Him. Life is great with Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it in abundance. And Psalm 23, which says, I love it. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, in the old King James, runneth over. I love runneth. You can just get the picture. You come to Christ, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and your cup just overflows. On the last day of the feast, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, you remember, and he said, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. He who believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And this he said about the Holy Spirit, that those who believed in him were going to receive. So if you receive Christ this morning, and in less than 20 minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make that decision, to receive Jesus Christ, to meet God for yourself, and to know what it means when it says, if anyone is in Christ, you're a new person altogether. The old is gone, the new has come. That's real living, eternal living. And so three things happen when you actually receive Jesus Christ on the spot. Some of these things that I read to you from my list, it's all true and it's all biblical, but often you begin to get it as the years go by. When I received Christ, I was only 12 years old. And you know, when a kid comes to Christ, you don't notice many outward changes. A few, but you know, there isn't that much to change yet. But when a guy is 38 or 40 and he's lived a rough life and he comes to Christ, you see the changes right in front of your eyes. There's an actor in the States called Stephen Baldwin. Have you heard of Stephen Baldwin? You've heard of his brother Alec? Okay. He was converted when he was about 37 or 38. And he was a wild guy. He went out doing stuff a married man shouldn't do. He was into drugs. His brother Alec said so. And he was a naughty boy. And he was into clubs and stuff you're not supposed to do, even if you're not a Christian. But he met Jesus Christ one day through a Brazilian maid who came to clean their house. And his life was changed. He's not perfect yet like I am, but there's definitely been a change in his life, you know. And the difference is some things just drop off on the spot. No more drugs, no stupid drunkenness, no messing around with ladies that don't belong to you. Those are the visible immediate. But when a child comes to Christ, you don't have a mother-in-law to beat up on. You know what I mean? It's just you and your little foolishness. When my counselor sat me down, he said to me, Luis, if you die tonight, are you going to heaven or hell? And I said, I'm going to hell. And he said, why? I said, because I got a bad mouth and I beat up on my sisters. If you had five sisters, you beat up on them too. But I mean, and he said to me, okay, you're going to hell. But he said, is that where you want to go? I said, no, I want to go to heaven. That's why I'm here. And he said, well, you know what you have to do. And it was about to rain. So he was in a hurry to get it done. And he said, I said, yeah, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been to church. And he said, don't wait. And he used his flashlight and the New Testament. And he read me a passage and he put my name in the Bible. He said, if you, Luis, confess with your lips, Luis, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, Luis, that God raised him from the dead, you, Luis, shall be saved. And I got it. I wanted to get it. I was ready. It was about to rain. The rain was just beginning. So he was in a real rush. I said, okay, you're going to receive him or not? I said, yes. He said, okay, he put his arm around me and he led me in a prayer, a quick prayer. It takes a moment to receive Christ, but the change affects you for the rest of your life. I mean, I was only a 12-year-old little punk and I'm a 77-year-old punk, but it's been a change in my life. And he led me to Christ. His name was Frank Chandler. And in a prayer, he said, oh God, I've sinned against you. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to go to hell. I want to be forgiven. I believe in you, Lord Jesus. I believe it. God raised you from the dead. God raised you from the dead. Give me eternal life. Give me eternal life. Amen. And the rain was coming down, so we ran to the tent. But on the way, I said to him, hey, wait a minute. Am I in now? He said, you're in. You got eternal life. That was great. Now, that was a long time ago. But I've never lost my conviction and assurance. I belong to Christ. And the Bible says, listen to this, the Holy Spirit, and he'll do it to you too. It's not just that it's written in the Bible. That's important. But the Holy Spirit who inspired the writers lives in us. And he says in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit, listen to this, gives witness with your spirit that you are indeed a child of God. So that when Satan or some friend or some incident makes you doubt if you belong to Christ, the Holy Spirit says to you, yeah, you're a real clown, but you are a child of God and you belong to me and I live in you and I know exactly what you're thinking about. So the Lord gives witness with us that we are children of God. Now, when you receive Christ, three big things happen and I'll give you the invitation. First, the past. All your past is forgiven on the spot the moment you open your heart to Christ. The Bible puts it this way. My dad, who I told you died when he was young, loved this verse, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ because you've received him by faith as a man, woman, or young person, you belong to him. And there is no condemnation. Now in America, you need to use that verse. There's a lot of Americans who were brought up in church, Catholic, Protestant, charismatic, whatever church. And then they take off and they do some really stupid things as well as wrong. And then they feel God will never take me back. You know, let's face it, this was bad. and I knew it was wrong, and I went ahead and did it, I'm finished. God's finished with me. The answer is no. It says, if anyone is in Christ, you're a new person. There's no condemnation for those who belong to God. And then there's a verse in Hebrews 10:17 that I've repeated 10,000 times. I'll tell you, anybody who travels with me has heard it. God says, your sins, listen to this, and evil behavior, I will remember no more. If you've got a Bible, get a red pencil and underline no more. Your sins and evil behavior, the Lord says, I will remember no more. How do we know that? Why? How? It's the cross of Jesus Christ. On the cross, Jesus Christ did a perfect job to deal with the problem of our sinfulness. And don't kid yourself, every single one of us is a sinner. Different kinds, different approaches, different weaknesses, but we've all broken the moral law. So no one is clean until Christ comes into our life. But on the cross, you remember, between two thieves, the Bible says that God laid on him the sin of us all. And what made him sweat that night, you remember he went to the garden with three of his apostles, and it says that he sweat like drops of blood. It wasn't so much the nails in his hands and his feet and the crown of thorns that he knew was coming. It was that on the cross, God would take the sins of us all, everyone in this room, 7 billion people in the world, 7 billion, plus all the billions have already kicked the bucket several centuries ago. All of them, all those sins laid on Jesus Christ, who was holy and pure and never committed a sin. And he spent those hours on the cross purging the sins of the world, paying for our evil behavior. I made him sweat. And he went to hell, so to speak, to rescue us from hell. So that's why he cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He did it rhetorically for our benefit, to make us think, why was he on the cross? And you know, that's why he can forgive you and me. And the Bible puts it this way, you all know it, but it's good to be reminded. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, purifies us from all sin. All sin. All sin. So, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Your sins and evil behavior, I will remember no more. And thirdly, the blood of Jesus purifies not from some sins, but from all sin. So if you have opened your heart to Christ, you will be forgiven. Even if you've done horrendous stuff that you're ashamed of, and you should be. And you don't want anybody to find out. We've all sinned. But God, through his grace, forgives us. The second thing that happens is this. The moment you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. That's now. Now, some of you guys, especially men, say, yikes, Holy Spirit, this sounds like a little creepy. No, it's the Spirit of God, Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's the best thing that could ever happen in your life. That you become, this is what 1 Corinthians 6 says, listen to this. I only learned this one until I was 25. So I was a believer at age 12. I had the Holy Spirit, but I didn't get it. I was a slow-witted guy. But at 25, I really got it. It says, don't you know, listen to this, don't you know that your body is now the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? If you have a friend or a relative whose life has changed and you wonder why, it's not because they become more religious. Religion doesn't do much for you. It's because the Holy Spirit changes you and you become a temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3 says, your body is the temple of God. And God's temple is sacred. So your body, ugly as it may be, is sacred if you have the Holy Spirit. Because you are now the temple of God. That's why Christians don't like to fool around and commit sin against God. Because you say, I got the Holy Spirit, man. And I'm going to go and goof up and dishonor him and grieve him. And, you know, I mean, God lives in me. I can't hide from him. And he knows everything I'm thinking. And he wants to protect me from stupid decisions. So that's why we stay holy. We want to be holy. And he gives us the power. So that's amazing. That's what's so staggering. If you receive Christ in a few minutes when I give you the invitation, you'll walk out of here a new person. First, your sins are all forgiven. Secondly, you become the temple of God. It doesn't mean you become perfect. No, let's not confuse things. You don't become perfect, but you're sure going to change. And as the years go by, the change is going to grow. And you're going to know something's different. Staggering is the word. Because now you're walking home, jumping in your car, going to have your Sunday meal with the Holy Spirit living in you. And he never leaves you. And he never forsakes you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And St. Paul says, Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And he never leaves you. In fact, the Bible says, whoever joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So you walk out of here united with God. Brothers, ladies, you become a child of God. God becomes your father. And he will never, ever let you go. So that's the second. The last one is just as good as the two. Anything God does is fantastic. But the first, forgive all your sins. Second, you become temple of God. Thirdly, in the future, when you die, you go straight to heaven. That is staggering and true. We've been reading lately of a few military boys and women, one or two, killed in Afghanistan again. And where do those boys go? Many of them are believers in Jesus Christ. And so they go to be with the Lord. You will die, and where are you going? There's only two destinations, heaven or hell. If you know Jesus Christ, you go to heaven. So why not run to Christ today and say, Lord, I want to know that I have eternal life. We were meant for eternal life. And you know, Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, he said in John 14, believe also in me. You remember what he said? In my Father's house there are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. And then one of his disciples said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Thomas said, and Jesus said, I've been with you this long, Thomas, and you still don't get it? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And right then and there, they got it and they understood. And you know, dear friends, heaven is the Father's house. My father died singing, clapping his hands, and then he sang three times about heaven, and then he was exhausted. He knew he was dying. His head fell on the pillow, and he pointed up to heaven, and he said, I'm going to be with Jesus, which is better by far. And a few moments later, my dad went to be with the Lord. And that's why I go all over the world. I want everybody to die like my dad, you know, knowing how can you be sure. And to see your dad going singing and clapping, that's the way to go. You know, that's the way I want to go. My neighbors often were so desperate. I remember in Argentina, they had no hope of eternal life. And you could hear people, men. I was always impressed. There were some neighbors who died and they were dying. I said, oh my God, I'm dying. I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. And they were, I guess. And it didn't sound good, you know. I thought, man, let's lead as many as possible to go to the other side, which is far better. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You leave the body, you go to be with Christ. That's staggering, and that is the gift of God. But eternal life begins here on earth. When we die, we experience it in all its perfection, but it begins on earth, and you begin to really live a new life because you've got Christ living in you. So the question I have to ask you, because it's my call from God, have you got Jesus Christ living in your heart? Can you say, yes, I do? Or would you have to say, well, I'm still thinking about it? Or you may say, that's why I'm here today. Somebody help me to receive Jesus Christ. Somebody help me to open my heart. And that's what I want to do in the next few moments. I want to guide you in a moment of commitment to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, repent and receive Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to all those who receive him, listen to this, who believe in his name, he gives them power to become children of God. Do you believe in him? Then the only step left is to receive him. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. A gift is something somebody gives you. All you have to do is take it and say, thank you, I receive it. And eternal life is in Jesus Christ. The Bible says God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son of God has life. Whoever doesn't have the Son of God doesn't have life. So you should be able to answer, do you have life or don't you? Have you received Jesus Christ? And if you haven't, what are you waiting for? Why would you reject him? He will forgive all your sins. He will send the Holy Spirit to live within you. And he gives you the assurance of heaven when you die. Is there a better deal in the whole world? It can't be. But you have to receive. And if you're ready, I want to lead you in a prayer. Because listen to this, and I'll ask you to pray. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Remember that? If anyone hears my voice, he said, the voice of Jesus, and opens the door, I will come in to you and eat with you and you with me. So if you open your heart to Christ, he will at that moment come in and you're in. Your life will never be the same. But you have to make your own decision for him. He's done everything. He offers you. Now he says, will you or won't you open your heart? And that's the question I ask you in Jesus' name. Will you receive Christ? Have you received him? If you know him, then you know what we're talking about. If you drifted away from God and today you want to come back, you join us in this prayer too. But for those of you who've never really invited Christ into your heart, this is the moment to do it. So let's stand for prayer, shall we? Let's stand in the presence of God. And I want to lead you in a prayer to Christ. And for all of you men, especially I want to appeal to you men, young men, come to Christ before sin messes you up big time. Come to Christ before Satan destroys your life and you make a real mess of it. Come to the one who created you in your mother's womb, and he knows you by heart. There was a song that I've heard that I really like. It says, we will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. And then it says, I still remember the day you called me, the day you called out my name. You said you loved me, you'd never leave me, and I've never been the same. And if today you sense the calling of God, I want to lead you in a prayer. And let's pray out loud. Those of you who already know Christ, pray with us too, because you're thanking God. But those of you who are receiving Christ, you pray this prayer to Jesus Christ. Let's bow before God and let me hear you pray out loud. Oh God, my Father, you are a good God and a loving Father. Thank you for the cross of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took away all my sins. And this morning, O Lord, I confess with my lips, Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart, God raised you from the dead, and therefore I have eternal life. Thank you, Father. I am yours forever. My sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit is coming in. And heaven is my home. I thank you with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
This is Kevin Pillao, one of Luis Pillao's sons. Toward the end of Dad's life, he had zero regrets about spending his years sharing the good news. He was convinced that an even greater harvest was waiting in the generations to come. We agree, and we're continuing the work Dad started. We are passionate about bringing the gospel to every person on the planet. Millions still don't know the hope that's found only in Jesus Christ. If Dad was here today, I think he would say, "Don't wait. Share Jesus today wherever you go." If you'd like to join with us in spreading the good news around the world, you can visit luispalau.org to give a God-honoring gift today. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Thank you for being with us today. God bless you.